Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
With us on the line now is Olympian Benjamin Alexander. He was Jamaica's first ever alpine ski competitor for the 2022 Winter Olympics. He's an advocate for SOS Outreach Youth, who are committed to ensuring that all youth have the opportunity to thrive. Welcome to the show, Benjamin.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us. So, well, I'm really interested hearing about your career. You've had quite a varied career. You were working in finance and then became a DJ and then became a professional skier.
I mean, nobody told me that wasn't the path we were supposed to take when we were growing up. So I guess I just kept making it up along the way.
So tell me about your DJing years, because you traveled the world doing that, didn't you?
Yeah, I was very fortunate to have some success with that. I played across 5 continents and over 30 countries, including the Burning Man Festival in the United States every year for the last decade, pretty much. And it's just such an honor to be able to make money doing the thing that you love, to make money doing something that's creative, and to be able to share, you know, the incredible music that you find around the world with other people in different parts of the world. It's also not bad having a job where you're paid to drink alcohol. So, you know, it ticks all the boxes.
I bet. Brilliant. And so how did skiing come about then? You actually only first skied in 2016, is that right?
Yeah, correct. So when I was standing in the start gate in the Olympics in Beijing, I was a few days shy of my first lesson, of the 6-year anniversary of that first lesson in 2016. Again, this points back to DJing. Being an entertainer, being a creative, traveling around the world had me introduced to all kinds of weird and wacky sports and people and all kinds of fun stuff. And through my community that I met DJing, I started kite surfing. And in 2015, I was invited to DJ at a ski party. And for the first time in my life, I saw people up close and personal doing incredible sport and thought that I just wanted to take part in it and join them. I had no aspirations for the Olympics at that time. I just wanted to be able to keep up with my friends.
And how did you get on when you first tried it?
Absolutely atrociously. But I think everyone does, right? But the problem is, or the issue is, most people that start this sport started at the age of 2, 3, or 4. And so they don't remember the pain of falling over every 10 feet or every few seconds. As I was 32 years old when I started. And, you know, at that age, you start to think about broken bones and all of the other stuff that could come along with a bad ski injury or a bad fall. So I fell 27 times on my first run after I left my instructor. And for me, coming from an engineering background, I just saw that as a baseline, a number that I could improve upon. And so I went back on that very same run maniacally for the rest of the day and just slowly, slowly, slowly got better. I think I finished that first day falling 7 times on that one green run. But for me, that was progress. And this whole thing has just been about, you know, eking out incremental gains, just taking one little win at a time and keeping focused on moving forward and not being overwhelmed by the magnitude of the bigger picture of trying to get to the Olympics.
Yeah. So how do you go from having a go at skiing and falling over lots of times and improving quite quickly to then becoming a professional skier?
Yeah, a lot of time, effort, and money, actually. It's a very expensive sport, as we know. So I'm mixed race. My father is Jamaican and my mother is English, which means that I am always the representative of the minority of the group that I am in at any given moment in time. If I'm with a group of my black friends, I'm the white representative, I'm the white person, or they might call me Carlton, you know, the character from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yes, yeah.
If I'm with my white friends, I'm the black representative. And of course, skiing is predominantly white, so I would always be the black representative. And people know of my Jamaican heritage, my father being Jamaican, and would always reference the 1988 Jamaican bobsled team, and of course, the 1993 movie Cool Runnings. And they said, you should go to the Olympics. And I did. In 2018, I went as a spectator and realized that there were only three athletes in representation for a country that is a powerhouse in the summer games, right? We all know Usain Bolt or the medal sweep that the women had in track and field this year for Jamaica. And I just thought it was strange that more people hadn't decided to try and follow in the footsteps of that outlandish 1988 bobsled team and bring Jamaica into more sports in the winter side of the games. And so I just set about trying to figure out whether that was even a possibility for me. The first thing I had to do was move to the mountains. And so I spent 6 weeks at the beginning of 2019. And I calculate that in that 6 weeks, I probably skied the equivalent of what a leisure skier would ski in a decade or a decade and a half.
Gosh.
I was incredibly manic. And just out there from start to finish, nonstop by myself. So really played a big game of catch up. And then over the last 2 years, I've been living in the mountains again and have skied over 450 days in that 2 year period. And the number would have been much higher had I had the opportunity to get into the Southern Hemisphere during the summer to keep skiing. And unfortunately, the pandemic had closed borders and all of these other hurdles. And so it's not an easy path. It required a lot of work. And I will say definitively, it's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. But I'm happy to be here on the other side of it and being introduced as an Olympian by people such as you.
Incredible. So you had to apply for a Jamaican passport, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, it's actually really easy for people such as myself that have a father or parent that was born on the island to get citizenship and to get a passport. And it's strange because I think a lot of us over the last 2 years have come to an understanding of how valuable a passport is, right? When the borders were closed and no one could go anywhere other than to their own country. For me, having two passports meant that I could go and spend 4 months of the pandemic in Jamaica, which was absolutely fantastic. And I wouldn't have had that opportunity had I not had my passport. Also, I didn't realize that Jamaica has better relationships with certain countries than my British passport does. And so it would have actually made my DJ life a lot easier as well had I had taken the time to do a bit of research and investigation prior to the Olympic pursuit.
Oh, so then how does, I wouldn't even know how you kind of apply to take part in the Olympics. How does that process work?
Right. So as you said, first of all, you need to be a citizen. You need to have a passport. And then secondly, for my particular discipline, which is alpine ski racing, you need to be registered with the official body, the international governing body, which is the International Ski Federation. Mm-hmm. Then you are permitted to have a license. You need insurance to race and all of this stuff. And to qualify, because you still need to qualify, you don't just show up with your passport and say, you don't have one of me yet. So let me step in as the only Jamaican. To qualify, I needed to have five race results that averaged me below a certain threshold. Now, the threshold is not impossible. I was able to do it in 2 years of race training, but it's also not easy. As I said, I put countless hours and countless thousands of dollars into training to be able to get there. And the International Ski Federation is really supportive of diversity, but they just want to make sure that people that are coming in at that kind of minimum qualification criteria are still going to be safe. They still have to have a certain level of proficiency and expertise to be able to get onto that course. And that's what I spent the last 2 years working towards.
Gosh. And I know you had regular calls with mentor Dudley Stokes, who was one of the guys from that Jamaican bobsled team that was the inspiration for the film Cool Runnings.
Yeah, absolutely. Dudley has been an absolute rock in my life. He was an athlete at four Winter Games and a coach / support staff for two other Winter Games. And just having someone on your team or in your phone book that you can pick up the phone and ask questions from, who has been through this before and was literally part of that founding team, Jamaica's first ever winter athletes, has just been incredible. Because, you know, there are certain questions as it pertains to the complexities of getting to the Olympics or dealing with your National Olympic Association that you couldn't just ask any friend or couldn't phone up your parents and get some support on. So having him on my team has just been absolutely incredible. We're still yet to meet in person, believe it or not, even though we've spent countless hours on the phone together. But I'm hoping to get the opportunity to share a beverage with him sooner rather than later.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. So how was your experience then? How did you get on in the Winter Olympics?
So the Olympics experience was absolutely incredible. To be out there with some of the best athletes on the planet, to be rubbing shoulders with them was absolutely incredible. To have the honor and the privilege to jump into the same race course as the best athletes on the planet was just absolutely amazing. Being nominated as the flag bearer for Jamaica in the opening ceremony was also absolutely incredible. And for those of the listeners that actually watched my race, you would have seen that on my day of the 20 days of the Olympics, there or thereabouts, it was the only day that it snowed, right? So this area last year got less snow than London, England. And now they had on my race day, they had the biggest dump of snow that they had in 8 years, and they were just not prepared for it. So the conditions were incredibly dangerous. Unbeknownst to most people, ski racers race on ice, right? Our race course is much closer to an ice skating rink, a hockey rink, than it is to the normal type of skiing that people will do when they're leisure skiing. And so having new snow is actually really dangerous. And it caught out almost 50% of the field. 50% of the field crashed and didn't make it to the end of the race. So I feel honored to say that I'm one of the people that finished. I was really far behind the winners, but I knew that would be the case going in. It's impossible to catch up with someone who's been doing this professionally for 20 years and has been spending millions of dollars each year on their advancement. It's impossible to catch up with that in 2 years. But my story was just about participation and encouraging other people that if I could do this having only started 6 years ago and only having had my first race 2 years ago, then there are many other things that people can do inside of the Olympic sphere that will help bring more diversity to the Winter Olympics, which is a problem right now.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Well done, you. What an amazing, amazing achievement. So what's next for you then, skiing-wise?
Right. So I have already identified the next generation of Jamaican athletes that have started skiing, you know, at the age of 18 months and have been race training for the last 10 years. They're 14 years old now, so they're not legally of age to race. They will be in 2 years' time. And these are the athletes that I will help and mentor for the 2026 games and beyond. As a result of all of the coverage that I've been blessed with over the past month and a half, 2 months, many other athletes have reached out to me with a request for help, to help them come and represent Jamaica or their own nation. And I'm really keen to take a very active role in that. I hope to become the president of the Jamaican Ski Federation so I can do this on a more formal basis. And so I hope to go to the next two or three Olympics, not in a race suit, but in a business suit. And, you know, bringing more diversity to the Winter Games is really what's going to be a big chunk of the next part of my life. And there's lots of charity engagements coming up as well. You mentioned SOS Outreach at the start of this bit. They are a charity out of Denver who want to inspire and encourage children from low socioeconomic backgrounds, you know, low-income families, to be able to get into the outdoors, into winter sports. And they don't believe they're doing this just to kind of bring more diversity of economic backgrounds into winter sports, but they also believe that life skills and survival skills can be taught really well. Leadership skills can be taught really well in the outdoors. And it's the truth, you know. The weather can turn on a dime in the mountains, and things can get very seriously, very, very, very serious very quickly. And so getting more kids into that experience, getting more kids' understanding of that, gives them transferable skills that they can take with them for the rest of their lives. And I'm very happy to be involved with them and a few other charities that are doing similar work.
Fantastic. So what kind of thing are you doing for SOS Outreach?
So for example, next week we shall be doing a fundraising day, which is Ski with an Olympian. So there'll be a lot of, shall we say, well-to-do business people that will pay a lot of money to spend a day skiing with an Olympian and to get some tips and pointers from that person. And then all of that money goes to the charity to help fund them through the next phase of paying for getting the kids onto the mountain or paying for rental equipment that they can use. At some point, I will have a bunch of public speaking events put into my calendar where I'll be going to speak to local kids' athletics clubs around the country to tell them about my story and tell them how if I was able to go from zero to Olympian in 6 years' time, these guys having had a much greater jump on me, being able to start much younger, can achieve much greater things than I ever have done. So there'll be a lot of public speaking as well in the near future.
Oh, great stuff. Well, if people want more information about the charity, sosoutreach.org is the website. And have you got a website, Benjamin, so we can follow what you're doing?
Yeah, it's just Benji, Benji.ski.
benji.ski. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Great
Super
stuff.
Super easy.
Oh, it's been lovely chatting with you, and well done for everything that you're doing, and now you're going to go on and inspire and help other people. I think it's brilliant.
Thank you. Yeah, that's the plan. I really appreciate the time.
Lovely to chat with you. Thanks so much, Benjamin. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.